34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We all know these Bible verses. Its main idea is how we Christians, as God's people, should approach the circumstances and challenge of life. In fact, not just these several verses we are reading today, but the whole Sermon on the Mount is about how we live our lives on earth and how we deal with what happens in our daily lives, such as questions on marriage, whether Christians can divorce at all, and it talks about oath, whether Christians can swear, it also talking about faith, how to deal with our relationship with God, what is prayer, and what kind of prayer is true and effective. It also talks about our relationships with others. And questions about finance, where is the best place to store our treasure, and so on. So, brothers and sisters, our faith is not about retreating from the world for seclusion, nor is it a metaphysical, mysterious philosophy, but about real daily life. As a result, the message we'll share today is about a problem which we can't avoid, but have to live with for a lifetime. It is worry. Brothers and sisters, will life in this world have worries? Why do we worry? What is the secret to overcoming worry? So let's go into today's message with those questions. The first key point is, what did Jesus mean when he said, do not worry? Brothers and sisters, Jesus never promised that our lives would be free from hardships, trials, and challenges, but he told us not to worry when we encounter them. So, in today's scripture reading, the Lord tells us, do not worry. The Lord first tells us not to worry about what we will eat, drink, or wear. So, the first sub key point is, do not worry about insignificant things. it matter what we eat, drink, or wear? Of course, it matters. Because they are what happens every day and what we face every day in our daily lives. But if you spend each day worrying about what to eat and what to wear, you are in danger of neglecting your body. Without a healthy body, what good are the most delicious food and the most beautiful clothes to us? Here, Jesus was asking us to reflect on which one of them is more important than life. So, what these Bible verses really mean is that don't let the less important overshadow the most important. For example, in the church, do your politics and mine matter much to us? Everyone thinks their opinion is important. Everyone says my opinion is based on the Bible. Have you ever think about it? All those different opinions make us unhappy in the church. What is more important than your and my political views and opinions? It's the unity of the church. Likewise, your perspectives on church ministry and my perspectives on service, both are important. But what is more important than our different opinions is a bond between brothers and sisters. The bond between brothers and sisters. So, brothers and sisters who are spiritually mature will give up their views on politics or on ministry. Not because they have no stand, nor their opinions are not strong enough to compete with you, but because they see that the unity of the church is more important than their personal winning or losing. If we gain our personal winning but lose the unity of the church, what gain do we have? And this is also what Paul emphasized in 1 Corinthians. I have faith in eating meat, but for the sake of my brothers and sisters who do not eat meat, I would rather not eat. For Paul valued the harmony and unity of the whole church and cared for the benefit of the weak brothers and sisters. Back to our life, in a family, the same is true. Couples don't have to fight over who is superior or who is stronger. On the contrary, the one who is willing to put down his or her own reason, consider their own weakness, and throw in the towel first is the biggest winner. Because for him or her, the relationship is more the relationship between the couple is more important than winning or losing. That's why Jesus said life is more important than what we eat or what we drink. And Satan's greatest trick is that he often shifts the focus of our eyes and life to something lesser, and it makes us lose sight of the crucial. Brothers and sisters, what do you value? Do we value the most important thing in our life? So it's not that what you eat, drink, or wear doesn't matter, but it's really about having the right value. We need to have a clear mind on what is of vital importance. Don't get sidetracked by the secondary, that we don't have time and energy to focus on the primary. The second subject point is, do not worry about things you can't change. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? On your Bible, if you pay attention to verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You will notice a footnote at the end, which explains, or a single cubit to your height. What does this mean? It means to say that don't worry about things you can't change, because you can't even add 5 minutes to your life by worry, or add 5 centimeters to your height. Brothers and sisters, there are certain things in life that we cannot change at all, such as our height, our Asian face, our identity relates to our parents and our children, etc. There's nothing we can do to change them. Even if someone complains about his background, he can't change his parents because of it. Some people think their children are not good enough, but they cannot change their relationship with them. So, worry has no value in things that cannot be changed. The most important thing is to look at ourselves and the people and things around us properly. Instead of wasting our emotions on things we can't change, we should accept them and deal with them rationally. One of my favorite prayers of the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom to know the difference. So, brothers and sisters, may God help us and give us the courage to change the changeable and the tolerance to accept the unchangeable and the wisdom to tell the difference of this. The third subject point is, do not worry about things that have not happened yet. The reason why a man is anxious is that the things happening to them is more than they can handle. Second, people worry because they have little control or certainty on what will happen in the future. In this world, who can live without sorrow, even if you are a Christian? Who won't worry? Therefore, Moses, the servant of God, said in Psalm, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. it summed up one's life in two words, labor and sorrow. And then he said, they quickly pass. And we fly away. Moses summed up one's life in two words, labor and sorrow. For example, recently, every one of us is living in the shroud of COVID-19. Since its outbreak, many people have had to face the fear of death and worry about their life and livelihood. I can clearly remember that when COVID-19 broke out in Wuhan, China, at the end of 2019, even though at that point there was no positive case discovered in the U.S. yet, the related fear had been spread to the entire Chinese community in the United States. The direct result of fear is anxiety about life. At that time, I was living in a small rural city of about 10,000 people in Illinois. It can be said that the pandemic was still far away from us. But before the virus arrived, the fear had already come. At that time, including myself, we Chinese had already begun to isolate ourselves. We dare not go to the supermarket, and even if we had to, we would wear protective gear. When we came back home, we took off our shoes and clothes and put them outside, in addition to taking a bath to disinfect ourselves. The food we bought should also be disinfected before we put it in the refrigerator. As you can see, before the virus arrived, the fear had already come. I'm very grateful that God gave me a 3-month internship opportunity out of state last summer when the pandemic was severe. It was this opportunity that made me rethink about my faith. Because for someone who lives in fear of the pandemic, traveling across state to live in another place for 3 months is a huge challenge. For my whole family, it's a huge challenge too. This internship opportunity turned my eyes from focusing on the pandemic to looking up to Jesus. From the fear and anxiety of the virus to the commitment of my life. My life was changing little by little at that time. I know that I have more faith than before. And the Lord constantly helped me learn to look up and entrust. It doesn't mean that I have nothing to fear from then on. And until now, not only I, but also my family have to wear masks when we go to shopping mall and supermarket. We always have hand sanitizer in our car. And I'm also vaccinated. In doing so, I'm responsible not only for my own life, but also for the brothers and sisters around me, with whom I have fellowship or whom I visited. I need to be responsible for those brothers and sisters whom I visited. I know that my life is in God's hands. I do the best I can and leave the rest to God. If God were to take me away today, as Paul said, it would be far better. If it's 5 or 10 years later, thank God. Then I can spend the rest of my life work harder to do his work. Brothers and sisters, Satan often pushes us into the emotion of fear and anxiety. Pretty often, we scare ourselves to death before anything even happens. May God help us not worry about things that have yet to happen. If it does happen, entrust yourself and your life to the Lord, for we are among the people with hope. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Therefore, I tell my brothers and sisters in Lexington, we do the best we can and leave the rest to God. We should build our faith on the Lord. The second key point is, why does Jesus teach us not to worry? Brothers and sisters, why does the Lord Jesus stress that we should not worry? Because people who live in worry for a long time end up with two results. First, they lose the basic confidence and ability to live and believe. Let us look at the scripture in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 45. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But Peter replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. And when Jesus took the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Then Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. When he rose up from prayers and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had acute trouble, which is the cross. So he took his disciples to the garden to pray. And he told the disciples what was about to happen to him. And the disciples were very worried. Then Jesus withdrew from them to pray. What did the disciples do? The Bible tells us that when Jesus returned to the disciples from prayer, he found them asleep because of sorrow. Brothers and sisters, if you live in depression for too long, your inner life will shrivel up and you will end up collapsing too. So be it if worry motivates you to rise up against your circumstances. But this is not the case. People who often live in worry until a point will become more and more powerless and aimless without knowing what to do. At that time, the disciples of Jesus were bound by sorrow and finally fell on the ground and could do nothing. Today, in our lives, are there also many people who lock themselves in rooms for several days or even months due to problems in their relationship, pressure from work, life, study, and even parent-child relationship? Someone even commits suicide because of worry about their life and because of the pressure from work, life, everything. Here is stressed that if you live in depression for too long, you probably end up collapsing. And some brothers and sisters, as we know, they used to be passionate, who used to be eager to serve, but then you don't see them in the church anymore because their feet of faith are tied up by sorrow of their relationship with their children and things like that. Eventually, they can no longer live out the testimony of their faith. Have you noticed that worry causes us to lose confidence and hope in life? It affects our relationships with God and others. Second, worry can block our eyes from looking up to the Lord. In John chapter 20, verse 1 and verse 11 through verse 16, as you read these scriptures, you know that who was the first person to see Jesus after his resurrection? It is Mary. This woman loved the Lord very much, and when she found out that the Lord is not in the tomb, she was grieved, wept, staying in sorrow, until Jesus appeared to her and stood before her. But Bible records here, she didn't realize it was Jesus when he stand before her and thought he was a gardener. Did you see that Mary was looking for Jesus while she was facing Jesus? She looked for him though he was right before her. Here, we really want to say that, in fact, difficulties are not the most terrible. Which day do we not encounter difficulties? What scares us the most is that when we are in trouble, we find the Lord is not with us. And today, Satan often does the same thing on us, making us sad and troubled to the extent that you can neither see nor feel God. And brothers and sisters, the God in whom we believe is Emmanuel, God being with us. But when we were in trouble, sometimes we ask, why did God forsake me when I was in real trouble? But why we cannot feel the presence of God you know that God has never left us? But Satan has a terrible trick, which is to blind our eyes through our fear and sorrow of the circumstances. In sorrow, you reach a point where you cannot see God even though He's with you. God never lets go, but you can't see it. So you ask, Lord, I'm in great pain, but where are you? Brothers and sisters, when your fear of the environment is greater than God and God's presence, you begin to worry. Most of us may remember that David said this in Psalm. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We will not be afraid if we experience God's presence. Remember that when you always worry, you will, like Mary, look for Jesus, though He was right before you. The reason why we cannot see Jesus is that we see our trouble bigger than God and God's presence. So let us review the 2 points. Why does the Lord ask us not to worry? Because first, we will lose the basic confidence and ability to live and believe. Second, worry can block our eyes from looking up to the Lord. Think about it. How many Christians are wrapped in worry in the church today? So let's just continue with our third key point. How do we free ourselves from worry? And brothers and sisters, many people believe in God, but they still worry constantly. Why? Because they have little faith. They trust themselves more than God. So the Bible tells us, the strength of a man's faith depends on how great his God is in his heart. I'll repeat it again. The strength of a man's faith depends on how great his God is in his heart. Brothers and sisters, is this God we believe in a true God? Are our lives really in His hands? What does this God have to do with us? We really need to overcome worry by expanding our knowledge and understanding of God. The more we know God, the stronger our faith grows, and the less we worry. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it teaches us that this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, would you please close your eyes and stay with me with a sincere heart. Let us read together. Our Father in heaven. Let us speak it louder. Our Father in heaven. Can we speak it louder? Our Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that you have a Father in heaven? This tells us why Christians can be free from worry. Not because we don't have things to worry about, not because we don't have the hardship of life, the pressure of work, the challenge of raising children, not because we have a positive attitude towards life, but because we have a Heavenly Father who is a living God. The God in heaven is not only a living God, He's our Father in heaven. He also knows our need. In verse 32, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. No parent prepares for their child's needs on the fly. Parent plans and provides for their children long before they notice the need. We Chinese in North America today have the most experience of this. Our plan and preparation begins when our children are still very young. We begin to plan which school to go to, in which district to buy a house, and which courses to take. Brothers and sisters, most of the time, the children don't even need to think. The parents have already planned everything for them. It's not just parents on earth, who knows to plan for their children. As God describes His relationship with His people as a father-son relationship, this Father in heaven also knows the needs of His children. I just want everyone to remember that God knows our needs even before we notice them. And this Heavenly Father is not a dazed Father, nor a careless, irresponsible Father. He is a conscientious Father who knows what we need. Finally, the God in heaven is not only a Father who knows you, but a Father who provides for you. Verse 26 tells us that the sparrows are small and no one cares about them, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are we not much more valuable than the sparrows? Brothers and sisters, do you know that our Heavenly Father cares for us? The Heavenly Father not only knows what we need, but He cares about we as persons. Our Father in heaven did not let His only Son be crucified for a sparrow, but He crucified His only Son for you and me. The Bible says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Let us see our conclusion today. Brothers and sisters, Jesus comforts us through these Bible verses. No matter if you are worshiping in the church or online, the Lord Jesus tells us, do not worry about the insignificant things. Do not worry about things that cannot be changed. Do not worry about things that have not happened yet. Because worry will cause us to lose our faith, confidence and ability to live and believe. And it will block our eyes from looking up to the Lord. And at last, the Lord gave us the guarantee that we have a Father in heaven. He knows our needs, and He will provide for us. He loved every brothers and sisters in Louisville who had been cleansed by His precious blood. If you have difficulties in your life, brothers and sisters, let us go draw near to the Lord and pray to Him. Even if you don't know what to pray, you can say, Abba, Father. As long as you continue to call His name, Abba, Father, you will have strength. Whenever you encounter difficulties and hardships in your life, you should go back to these Bible verses and remind yourself that I have a Heavenly Father who is a responsible Father. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank for your grace. May all glories be with you. Let us not worry about things that are not important, that we cannot change, and that have not happened yet. May the Lord lead us in our life. When we encounter difficulties, may us remember to come back to the presence of the Lord and remember that our Heavenly Father knows our needs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 现在是我们一同奉献的时间。但在这之前，我想先来欢迎一下我们今天的新朋友。节目室的太太今天也来到我们中间，可不可以请您先介绍一下自己？谢谢。还有他们的儿女。还有没有今天第一次来我们教会的朋友？今天我们奉献的经文是《使徒行传》20章35节。我凡事给你们做榜样，叫你们知道应当这样劳苦扶助软弱的人，又当纪念主耶稣的话说，施比受更为有福。请我们一同为奉献祷告。天父，请使用这些奉献和我们所有的一切。帮助我们在奉献上和生活中都能够做一个慷慨的给予者，使得这个世界能因我们而有所不同。我们每一天都经历你的祝福，你的祝福总是带着完全的爱白白地赐给我们。使我们满心爱你，毫不犹豫地将这本已经属于你的再献给你。奉耶稣基督的名祷告， Amen。 Let us all rise to receive benediction.Please be seated.